Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Taking you through a Friday afternoon and into your Friday evening, we are leading you into Cleveland Indians baseball tonight. The Tribe taking on the LA Angels down at Progressive Field, back at home for the first time in just over a week. We will have that game for you. Indians warm-up begins at 6:37. And Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joins us on the hotline right now. Rosie, thank you as always for joining us. How are you?
You got it, Bull. I'm doing great.
Rosie's appearances, of course, are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Well, Rosie, certainly not a bad roadie for the Indians. It most definitely ended well. The pitching has certainly been terrific, at least at the end of the roadie. I think a couple of things definitely stood out. The performance of Carlos Carrasco definitely in the finale on Wednesday. He was just sensational. You know, the additions to the bullpen still seem to be paying off. And, you know, Rosie, these are very exciting times. And I think those two wins at the end of the road trip can't be emphasized enough. Now, there's still a long ways to go, but those two wins give the Indians a double-digit lead in the American League's Central Division, and that's got to have the team feeling really good right now.
I think so, and you know what, Andy? It's interesting because I asked a couple of players about the series with the Twins because they're the closest team that's chasing them, and it's still they're still just trying to play better baseball, and they haven't really gotten caught up in standings or anything like that, which is really amazing with 2 months to go. But maybe that's just been the type of season it's been and the division that they're in. There's no denying it. The division is awful. The Indians are the only good team in the division. And I thought it was fascinating that the Twins basically had a fire sale. And yet on Monday, I talked to a couple of people, reporters with the Twins, who are saying, well, you know, if the Twins can take 2 out of 3 here, the Indians still have 7 games left with the Red Sox, and the Twins still have, you know, 7 more games with the Indians. If they can win 7 out of those 10 and this, that, and the other thing. But I think what you saw is, by the way they played on Tuesday night and Wednesday, the Indians are clearly the better club, and they played like it, and when they have the good pitching, like you mentioned, there's plenty of offense. They're a good team, and yeah, they feel good about it. I think they feel good more just about playing 2 really good ball games and playing the way I think the Indians will need to play the rest of the way and on into the postseason.
Obviously, earlier in the year, you know, the bullpen seemed to be the one thing that everybody looked at as the weakness. Now, it seems like with some of the deals that they've made in and around the deadline, that could end up being a strength, depending on the health of Andrew Miller as well. And, Rosie, looking at what they have done with the bullpen over the last couple of weeks, Brad Hand, of course, went multiple innings to get the save in that 2-0 win on Wednesday afternoon. And Cody Allen has gotten his fair share of opportunities to still slam the door as well. Do you get the impression that that's something we're going to continue to see, that it won't necessarily just be one guy as the closer, that Tito Francona might actually split that responsibility up a little bit?
Absolutely, and it's working well so far, and there's no reason not to when you have really 3 pitchers with closing experience, although I don't see when Miller comes back, I don't see him being put to the back end of a game. I think it's set up perfectly right now where you have a lefty and a righty back there to close out games with experience, because then you can bring Miller in, you know, if say the game's on the line in the 8th inning or the 7th inning, then you bring him in then, and that's, you know, we've seen that before. So, but I do think you'll see him continue to flip-flop between Hand and Allen depending on who's coming up in the 9th inning, lefties or righties, and I think that's a great luxury. There's not many teams in baseball that can do that, and when you think about it, I mean, why rely on just one guy to do a really important job at the end of games when you can have a couple of guys who can share that? And it certainly seems like, talking to Cody Allen and Brad Hand, that they don't mind that. It doesn't matter to them, and they kind of embrace it. So it's a real nice situation to have.
I want to stick with that for just a minute, because I think we're certainly onto something here that I think the casual fan may look at it from a different perspective. And that is that, you know, when you look at this from the outside looking in, you might think that Cody Allen might see that as a little bit of a slap in the face, but I don't think he sees it that way. And you just kind of alluded to that. Do you think he feels like maybe some of the pressure has been taking off of him. And, you know, if you don't pitch him in as many high-pressure situations, that could certainly make him more effective as we get closer to the postseason. I mean, not to say that he can't do it, but the Indians aren't going to rely on him as heavily to slam the door, at least not the regular season. Did you sense any relief from him in that regard?
No, not at all. I mean, I don't think he looks at it from that perspective. Now, I think he does look at it from the perspective in this particular case, you know, the last 10 days or so, he had gone through a tough stretch and had given up some runs in key spots and wasn't as effective. And what this allowed him to do was actually come on, you know, in spots where the game was on the line earlier, so there's just as much pressure. But it kind of got him going. Like, I think both he and Tito said as much, that he wanted to get him in where he wasn't necessarily starting a ninth inning with a three-run lead in a safe situation. He was going to come in where he had to be really good right away with a man on base, say in the seventh inning, tying run at the plate, something like that. And he got him in a couple of those spots, and that just it brought him in where he knew he had to have that razor focus right out of the chute, and didn't necessarily have much of a cushion to work with, which sometimes you do as a closer. So I think from that standpoint, he welcomes the pressure and kind of needed it to get sharp again as he got his mechanics back to where they needed to be. So he loves the situations where there's pressure, and he doesn't want any relief from that. But sometimes the best spots, the most pressurized spots, are in the seventh and eighth inning more so than the ninth.
Again, we're talking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Our weekly chats with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company. Rosie, sticking with the bullpen. You know, we alluded to Andrew Miller just a couple of minutes ago. Boy, over the last weekend, the numbers didn't look so good for him, but that obviously changed in the two outings that he made this past week, pitching in Columbus, and he turned in two very nice outings. Any more word as to when we might expect Andrew Miller to pitch for the Tribe again?
Not any more than what we knew on Wednesday. It was an off day yesterday, so I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody about it, and won't until they get here to the ballpark today. So it certainly seemed, though, that he's close, and maybe the deciding factor would be, does he want to have one more rehab assignment where he pitches in multiple innings, maybe comes on and gets through one inning and then comes back out and faces a couple of more hitters, just to simulate that getting up and getting back down again and then coming back out for a next inning. They do like to make sure the relievers do that, and that's a little bit different than just coming on to start an inning. So that'll be the question. If he feels he needs that, then they'll send him out again maybe tonight or over the weekend. If not, then I think you will see him back here. But again, that was something that they were going to discuss Wednesday night and yesterday, and have something for us today when we get here.
Corey Kluber is indeed going to pitch in this weekend series at home at Progressive Field against the LA Angels. He is scheduled to start on Saturday. Now, obviously, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag of results for Kluber over the last month or so, but Rosie, he looked really good on Sunday, and I think that's the Corey Kluber that we kind of expect to see moving forward. What were some of the major differences with Kluber on Sunday as opposed to his previous outings? I know when we had you on last week, there was some discussion about the knee injury and how that may have affected his arm slot. Did it appear to you as though all of those things had been corrected?
I think he's getting there. I think the key is, by all accounts, the knee is feeling much better, and certainly the one thing that was noticeable, Bull, is we saw more of that wipeout breaking pitch than we had seen in prior outings. And maybe that's a result of that arm slot and the knee issue, but certainly we saw it more, and it was effective. He said, hey, look, he was happy with the results, but he still feels he's got a long way to go to get where he'd like to be, but it was encouraging. He was getting closer. So that's I think, really important. Again, it's hard to just bring it back to where he was when he was going really well in one appearance, but he certainly made some good progress on Sunday and got great results, which I'm sure is encouraging. But I think the main difference certainly was we saw a lot more of that wipeout breaking pitch, and it was a lot better than it has been in recent appearances.
Well, I tell you what, Rosie, the Indians certainly have a luxury with that starting rotation right now. And I think it's been mentioned before that they have three guys on this staff that could be aces on many other staffs in Major League Baseball. And it's a good problem to have. And I mean, I think a lot of folks have thrown this question out there, so I'll throw it out there to you right now as well, just for fun. But if the playoffs were to begin tomorrow, do you think Trevor Bauer would be the guy that the Indians would give the ball to in game one? Only because consistently, I think you could certainly make the argument, he's been the most effective pitcher that they've had in that rotation this season.
Yeah, it's interesting because each of the last two seasons, he has started the first playoff game. I think it'll get back to matchups. I think that's what it usually gets back to. And maybe home and road, everything that they take into account. But I don't know. It is a nice situation to have. You would think it would be Kluber, but even the last couple of years, it has not been. Now, there were some extenuating circumstances in both cases on the injury front for Kluber that I think made it a situation where they wanted to give him an extra day at the start of the postseason. But you would think it would be Kluber, but they'd be perfectly happy if it was Bauer or even Carrasco. But today I think it would be Kluber, Bauer, Carrasco, or Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, and I feel real good about all three.
Absolutely. Again, that's an incredible luxury for this team to have right now. Let's just hope that all three of those guys stay healthy getting into the postseason. Indians, of course, taking on the LA Angels tonight, a weekend series against the Halos. Should be a very interesting series. And, of course, the Indians added another new face, bringing in outfielder Leonis Martin. And Rosie, this is a guy that is expected to make a major impact defensively. For fans, a lot of times, immediately they'll look at those offensive numbers, and he's been pretty solid. He's been pretty strong offensively, but give us an idea as to just how good he is defensively. He certainly seems on the surface like a guy that's going to help out tremendously in center field for the Indians.
Well, I think he's an experienced center fielder, which they haven't necessarily had. Obviously, Rajay Davis can play it. So can Greg Allen. But I think they value some good experience there. He has the speed to go get balls that are hit over his head, and he has a good throwing arm. He's done really well in terms of throwing out base runners, not only this year, but the past several seasons. So there's a lot to like there defensively. And the key is, I think the reason they wanted to see if they could upgrade in center is because in right and left, you don't have plus outfielders. Michael Brantley's at a stage in his career where he has slowed down a little bit, and he's not a plus left fielder anymore. And the same with Melky Cabrera. As much as he'll play in right field, it's the same thing. So you need someone who can cover a ton of ground in center field. So I think that's a big impetus for the trade.
No question about that. And again, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him in a Tribe uniform the next couple of months, hopefully the next 3 months as this thing takes a turn in October here. But, you know, Rosie, I think also, you know, looking at that trade deadline, the Indians made a sneaky move at the very, very end of it. One, I think, that's being overlooked by some. And I know it only involved prospects. And sometimes you just never know how long it's going to take to find out the end result of a trade like that. But have you had the chance to take a look at Oscar Mercado, who they acquired from the St. Louis Cardinals? Again, that was a trade that got overlooked, but a lot of baseball executives are looking at that and kind of patting the Indians on the back for making that deal.
Well, it kind of runs along the line of Martin from the standpoint of they're trying to restock their inventory in center field, and a lot of that is due to the injury to Bradley Zimmer and also Tyler Naquin to some extent, although I think they still view Naquin as more of a corner outfielder than a center fielder. But they're trying to rebuild their inventory in center field, and Mercado, like Martin, is shown to be, at least in the minor leagues, a very good defensive center fielder, and they love the fact that he can steal a base, and they're still waiting to see how much he'll hit, and that's the big X factor. Can he hit at the major league level? We don't know yet, but he is close. He's at the AAA level, and we may see him, I would think. There's no for sures, but I would think there's a real good possibility we'll see him at the very least as a September call-up. So, it's an interesting deal right now, and it could be a really exciting deal down the road.
Rosie, we'll cut you loose on this. I think when we talk about trade deadline stuff, a lot of times we certainly look and see the guys that were acquired that are going to make immediate impacts at the big league level. The Indians certainly were able to get three guys to do that, and Adam Simber, Brad Hand, and Leonis Martin. But I think what's more important, from my perspective anyways, yes, they added three key cogs that can definitely help out this year. But you just talked about it with the deadline deal they made involving only prospects. They were certainly able to restock their inventory, so to speak. And, you know, it certainly seems like this farm system is still in really good shape after the deadline.
And it is. And, you know, they gave up the two, I think, big prospects they gave up would certainly be Francisco Mejia, who could go on and have a tremendous major league career. And they liked Willie Castro, too, the shortstop that they gave up to the Tigers, and he could be a major league shortstop at some point in time. So you have to give up something to get something. But, yeah, they did replenish the system a little bit, and without losing too much, you don't think. So I think that's important. I think they did really well at the trade deadline, and I know, you know, there were bigger names that moved, but I think the Indians, for what they needed at this particular time to really prepare themselves, they did good work. And Bull, they're not necessarily done. Last year, Jay Bruce came after the trade deadline in a waiver deal. And the year prior, Coco Crisp, who was a tremendous asset to the Indians in the postseason, he came after the trade deadline. So don't sleep on the Indians yet as far as what their roster is going to look like for the postseason. There still could be some players out there that could be headed this way at some point in time if they feel there's a need.
Absolutely. Well, Rosie, as always, we truly appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and have some fun this weekend at Progressive Field. Hopefully the Tribe can do some damage against the Angels, and we'll do this again next week.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thank you again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Our weekly Chats with Rosie brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Let's get to a break. We've got more coming your way on Bullseye on the Afternoon right after this on AM 930 WEOL.